Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to Chapel Hill if you're new with us. If you haven't met me, my name's Ellis. I'm one of the pastors here, and I want to start by thanking our pastor search committee for the really hard work that they have put in over the last 6 months. I know there's been, yeah, indeed. Let's say thank you to them. There's many, many hours that went into this, a lot of emotional energy, and I'm sure not more than a few sleepless nights into nominating our next senior pastor. And I want to thank you for serving in that way, all eight of you, and thank you for nominating me for this significant role. Chapel Hill, if you choose to call me at our congregational meeting next Sunday at 11:45, it would be my privilege to undertake the role of senior pastor of this wonderful church. My family and I have taken much time over the last several months to discern if we should indeed pursue this call, and following the nomination of the PSC, we're sure that this is what the Lord has for our family in this next season, and we look forward to serving this church and this community for many, many more years to come. Kids, welcome to worship today. I'm really glad that you are with us, and you're going to have to listen to me talk for the next 20 minutes. But I'm hoping that I'm going to get to interact with you a little bit as we do that. And so I want to start by asking you kids out there a question. And I want to see you raise your hand if the answer is yes. Have you ever tried coffee? Okay. Okay, let me clarify. I'm not talking about what they produce at Starbucks that barely passes for coffee, like a mocha frappuccino with extra whip and all that, okay? I'm talking about like a cup of black stuff with maybe a splash of creamer in it. So kids, let me rephrase the question. Have you ever tried a cup of the black stuff with maybe just a little bit of creamer in it? Any of you ever tried that? What did you think? Yucky, disgusting, gross, yeah? I remember the first time I ever tried a cup of coffee. I took one sip, I spat it back out, and I said, "Why do you drink this stuff?" It was horrible. And yet, now I have seen the light. And I know that coffee is God's greatest gift to humanity. I drink 2 cups of black coffee every morning without fail. You see, I was wrong about coffee. Have you ever been wrong about something? This morning, we're continuing in our series through the book of Acts. Last week, we heard from our guest preacher, Dr. David Swanson. He gave us an overview of Acts chapter 2, which contains Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. And at the close of Peter's sermon, the people listening have a moment where they realize they were wrong about something really important. They were wrong about who Jesus is. And I wonder, have you ever been wrong about something that's really important, or about someone who's really important? And if so, how should you respond? That's what we're going to find out from God's word today. So, in Peter's sermon on that day of Pentecost, he's made the case to the Jews that they were wrong about Jesus. He told them, "You crucified him, but God made him both Lord and Christ." He says, "This Jesus was actually the king you've been waiting for, the Christ," or in Hebrew, the Messiah. He was the one that David wrote about in the Psalms, that all the prophets wrote about. He was the answer to all of your prayers. And what did you do to him? You crucified him. But God raised him from the dead, but still, you crucified him. Peter actually says that twice to them, just to make the point. And we find the response of the people who were listening, the Jewish people, in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2. So that's where we're going to read today. If you want to follow along, you can grab a Bible. There's ones in the pews in front of you. It's on page 910 at the very bottom. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. It'll be on the screens too, page 910. Of the Pew Bibles. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." This is the word of the Lord. Has anyone ever experienced pain in their chest? Don't worry, you don't have to put your hand up if that's embarrassing. We don't need to talk about personal issues here, but I'm going to. I first experienced chest pain, like significant chest pain, a few years ago, a real like stabbing pain right in the middle of my chest. I thought I was having a heart attack. Thankfully, after going to the ER and then running a battery of tests, I found out that it was just anxiety that was causing me pain in my chest. It's really quite amazing how our mind and our body are connected, so that when you experience something in your mind like anxiety, your body creates this physical sensation, like a stabbing pain in your chest. That physical sensation is what Luke, the writer of Acts, says that the Jews gathered in Jerusalem experienced as Peter finished up his sermon. Take a look, verse 37 again. "Now when they," that's all those who were gathered and listening, "when they heard this, they were cut to the heart." That word "cut" literally means they were stabbed in the heart, a stabbing pain in their chest. It was this awful moment for them where they realized that they were wrong about Jesus. Jesus was actually the one they'd been waiting for. Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was God's promised king to come and save and rescue his people. Jesus was the fulfillment of all of their hopes and dreams, and they'd killed him. And the pain in their chests was that feeling of guilt, and remorse, and anxiety about what might happen next. I mean, people have been struck dead by God for lesser things than killing the Messiah. What would happen to them? They knew they were wrong about Jesus. And so they ask Peter and the other apostles a question. The end of verse 37, "Brothers, what shall we do?" What shall we do? When I was a kid, I didn't have a backyard, but I did have a parking lot behind my house. And that was where I learned to play soccer growing up. I spent hours kicking the ball against the wall in the parking lot. Sometimes I'd have friends over and we'd play kind of a pickup game in amongst all the cars in the gap in between. And we were pretty careful not to hit the cars, but I will admit there were times when we might have hit them. And there was one time in particular I really hit a car. Like, I left a good sized dent in the fender. And when it happened, I looked at it and I felt this intense pain in my chest. I turned to my friend who was with me and I said, "What shall we do?" When we realize we're wrong or we've done something wrong, that's a natural question to ask. What shall we do? And that's the question the Jewish people ask of Peter and the apostles. And Peter's response is very simple. He tells them to do two things: repent and receive. Can you say those with me? Repent and receive. And I believe those two actions apply not only to the Jewish people living 2,000 years ago, but they also apply to us today. So what should we do when we're wrong? We should repent and receive. Let's take a look at each of them in turn. First, repent. The first thing that Peter tells them to do, we find in the first half of verse 38. Let's take another read. "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins.'" Now, repent, that word, for me, it conjures up ideas of like feeling sorry for yourself, regretting what you have done. But that word repent is a translation of a Greek word, metanoeo, which literally means to change your mind. I love the way Eugene Peterson translates this in his Message translation of the Bible. He writes this: change your life, turn to God. To repent means so much more than to just feel sorry for yourself. To repent means to change, to turn around. Anyone know what this sign means? A U-turn. Yeah, that's right. During spring break, my family and I went to visit my wife's family, a Canadian family up in Victoria. And while we were there, we went to the store to pick something up for dinner. Now, usually when I go to the grocery store, I have a list and I make sure I follow it very diligently. This time, I'm on vacation, I thought, I'll just wing it. So I went around, we picked up what we needed, we checked out, we put it in the car, we're driving off back to their house. We get about halfway home, and all of a sudden, I realize, oh no, I forgot something. And I'm pretty frustrated with myself because I like to have all things checked off the list, right? And it's rush hour, it's busy, but I see this small gap in the road. And I think, you know what I'm going to do? So I hit on my blinker, I grab the wheel, and I go, woof, like that. I didn't make it. I got halfway across the road, there's traffic coming in both directions, and here I am doing my three-point turn, trying to get around. It was incredibly embarrassing. Making a U-turn is perhaps one of the best translations of that Greek word, metanoeo. To repent means you realize that you are going in the wrong direction and you need to turn around and go the other way. As Eugene Peterson translates it, change your life, turn to God. And to symbolize that, Peter invites those who are listening to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. This morning, we're going to baptize several people. Baptism is a sign and seal of the unique relationship that God has with these persons. Some of these people are going to be baptized over here in the tank by being completely immersed under the water. And this beautiful visual image of someone going under the water and coming back up again pictures what repentance means. As they go under the water, they're saying, I'm leaving behind the old way of living. And as they come back up out of the water, they're saying, I'm entering into a new way of life. It's literally like they're doing a U-turn, right? They're going one way into the water, they make a U-turn, and they come back out in a different direction. And as that happens, the washing of water symbolizes the forgiveness of their sins. Jesus washes away all their guilt by his work on the cross. Baptism is a symbol of repentance. It's a symbol of that U-turn. Peter tells us that when we're wrong, we should repent. That is, we should make a U-turn. We should change our life and turn to God. And if you're here today and you realize, you know what? I've been wrong about this Jesus. I thought he was someone else. I thought maybe he was a good teacher. I thought maybe he would, you know, be helpful to teach my kids how to live, but I've come to realize he's so much more than that. I was wrong about Jesus. If you are here and you're saying that to yourself, I want to invite you to make a U-turn and change your life. Make a new start. Receive the forgiveness of Jesus for yourself. At the end of this message, I'll give you an opportunity to do that. But for all of us, we are all wrong about things all the time, right? And the correct response is to repent. The correct response is to make a U-turn and turn to God. To own that we were wrong. To say sorry. To decide to change and to turn to God and receive his forgiveness. And I think this is something we should all incorporate into our daily practice. And the way I've done this is to journal every night before I go to sleep. I reflect on the day with several questions, and one of the questions I ask myself is, what lessons did I learn? In other words, where was I wrong? And I use that as a chance to reflect and to do that U-turn activity, mentally, emotionally, to say, God, I was going in the wrong direction, but I'm going to turn around. I'm going to change my life, and I'm going to turn to you. Perhaps that's something you might like to try for yourself, journaling as a way to think about making that U-turn at the end of the day. So, what should we do when we're wrong? First, we repent. And second, we receive. The second thing we're to do is it's actually a fulfillment of a promise. Okay, so Peter's sermon, if you wind back to the beginning of the chapter, it began as a response to the people there asking another question. You see, the people had heard this group of Galileans, people from Galilee, who spoke a language called Aramaic. And they heard this group of people proclaiming the mighty works of God in all sorts of different languages. And the people couldn't understand how this was happening. This was before the days when you could get an app on your phone and learn how to speak Spanish or French or German. People didn't just have that happen. They couldn't explain it. So they asked Peter, and he said, "This is a fulfillment of a promise from the prophet Joel." Joel had prophesied that a day would come when God would pour out his spirit on all people, and they would prophesy. That is, they would proclaim the truths about God. And now Peter goes on to say, that same Holy Spirit that was just poured out on that group of people from Galilee is available to all people who repent. Take a look again at verse 38. "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children.'" Kids, it's for you too. "And for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Peter says that those who choose to change their life and turn to God will receive a gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit. The very same Holy Spirit that only minutes earlier had been poured out on the apostles, causing them to speak different languages. This very same Holy Spirit that had been promised centuries earlier to God's people. This Holy Spirit is the greatest gift we can ever receive. Why is that? Because it's the Holy Spirit that actually changes us. Now, we are wrong. We do wrong things all the time. And honestly, no matter how hard we try, there's nothing we can do to change that in and of ourselves. No amount of repentance is good enough. No amount of making U-turns is going to work. In fact, do you remember John the Baptist? He came baptizing with a baptism of repentance. But even he knew his baptism wasn't enough. Do you remember what he said? We just went through Luke's gospel. Back in Luke's gospel, chapter 3, John said, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Repentance isn't enough by itself. We need baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that's what the apostles just received. They saw tongues of fire resting on each other's heads, and the Holy Spirit transformed them so they could speak in other languages. And not only that, but as we read through the rest of the New Testament, we find out that the Holy Spirit does so much more than just what he did on that day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us new life. The Holy Spirit is the one who applies the righteousness of Jesus to us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of adoption who adopts us into God's family so we are no longer orphans but called sons and daughters. The Holy Spirit is the one who changes us, transforms us from the inside to out so that we're conformed more and more to the image of Jesus. The Holy Spirit's the one who gives us power to share the good news about Jesus, to serve and love those around us. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will keep us and protect us until the very, very end when we die or Jesus comes again. The Holy Spirit is the greatest gift we can possibly receive. And without him, we're nothing. I remember when our kids were born. They're 8 and 10 now. But when they were born, they were small and totally helpless. They couldn't do anything by themselves to survive. They were entirely dependent on Rachel and me, but mostly Rachel. Without her, they would be dead. Sometimes I fall into the trap of thinking that my journey of faith is mostly about my work with a little sprinkling of the Holy Spirit. That's not reality. Our journey of faith is entirely dependent on the Holy Spirit. It's like we're little babies, incapable of doing anything by ourselves. Without the Holy Spirit, we're nothing. We need the Holy Spirit. And the good news is that God has promised to give us this Holy Spirit. All we need to do is receive. I need someone to come help me with something. Is there anyone out there who'd like to come up and help me? Anyone? What about you? You want to come up and help me? Okay. Come on up here. Come and stand out in the light. Oh, look, we're getting more light. That's helpful. What's your name?
Nophilee.
Say that again.
Nophilee.
Nophilee. And I want to give you a gift this morning. Would that be okay? Can I give you a gift? Okay. It's over here. You can stay right there. I'll just go grab it. Brace myself. What do you think's in there?
I don't know.
You don't know? Do you want to take a guess?
No.
No? You don't want to guess? I don't really blame you.
I don't know what it is.
You don't know what it is?
No.
Do you want me to tell you what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah? It's actually a gift card.
What the?
It's a gift card to my favorite ice cream place. Because I want you to take your family out to go and have ice cream. Would that be okay?
I guess.
You guess. Maybe. And I want to give it to you. So you ready? You going to take it? That's it. Oh, wait a sec. Do you see that? Do you see her put out her arms? Like that? Do that again. That's how we receive a gift. We put out our arms. All right, you can take that down, or maybe I'll help you. We'll bring it down together. Come on, say thank you. The way we receive a gift, did you see that there? Is to open out our arms. Open out our hands. That is what it means to receive. To open out our hands and say, yes, I'm open to this. I want to receive it. And if you're here today and you've never turned your life over to Jesus, you've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to invite you to do that in a moment. To open out your hands, to invite God to give you the gift of His Holy Spirit. But for many of us, we've already received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what does this mean for us? Well, later in the New Testament, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says this, "Don't get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." And that verb, be filled, it's in the present continuous tense. And you all know what that means because Pastor Mark has been your pastor for 37 years and he's taught you so well. It means to be on being filled. It means you never stop being filled. You're not just filled once and you're done, but you're filled again and again and again and again. It means that we need the Holy Spirit each and every day and each and every moment. We need the Holy Spirit right now, just as much as when we came to faith in the Lord, and just as much as we're going to need the Holy Spirit next week. We're entirely dependent upon the Holy Spirit. So that means every single one of us needs to open out our hands to receive the Holy Spirit, inviting Him to fill us to overflowing every single day of our life. So, what do we do when we're wrong? We repent and receive. We repent. We do a U-turn. We turn to God. And we receive, hands open, the gift of the Holy Spirit each and every day. Repent and receive. Repent and receive. So as we close, I'm going to invite us to a time of doing just that. Would you pray with me? Well, Father, we come to you today, and we begin by acknowledging that every single one of us, at some point in our lives, has been wrong about you and about Jesus. We've doubted your promises, We've doubted the truth of who you claim to be, that you're good, that you're loving. And as a result, we have gone our own way. And Lord, I know there are people in this room this morning who would say, I've been wrong about Jesus up until this point, and today I need to make a U-turn. And so if you're here this morning and you have never turned your life over to Jesus, I want to invite you to do that right now. And the way we do that is by praying a short prayer. Sorry, thank you, please. Three simple phrases. So I'm going to pray that prayer. And if you want to pray that along with me, I invite you to do that right now. Start by saying sorry. Sorry, Father, that I've doubted your love for me, your goodness. Sorry that I've turned away from Jesus. And we say thank you. We say thank you for sending Jesus to come and rescue me, for taking my place on the cross, for defeating death, and for providing me the opportunity to have new life in and through the Holy Spirit. Sorry, thank you. Please, please give me the gift of the Holy Spirit, that I may be changed and transformed and made new and made whole. Pray this now. And if you prayed that prayer, I want to invite you to come and meet with one of our pastors or our prayer team in the chapel around the corner after the service. Let them know we'd love to help you take your next steps in your journey with Jesus. For the rest of us, we come to you and we too repent. We say we've been wrong. Maybe not about who Jesus is, but functionally we've lived as if he's not our Lord and not our King. We've gone our own way. We've put ourselves on the throne of our life, or we put something else on the throne of our life. And we come to you today and we repent. We say we're going to make that U-turn. And we receive the Holy Spirit once again. Maybe stretch out your hands if you're open to receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit this morning. Put them out in front of you, just like you're going to receive a gift. Say, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, fill me once again. Renew me, change me, make me more and more into the image of Jesus. Come Holy Spirit. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
You were the Word at the beginning.
Thanks for joining us today at Chapel Hill Church. If you'd like to visit us in person, we're located at 7700 Scantsey Avenue, Gig Harbor, Washington.
Our worship services are Sundays at 9 and 10:30. We hope to see you there. To learn more about our upcoming events, visit us online at chapelhillpc.org.